There was a question that's asked, that they asked Jesus, the Pharisees asked Jesus, Israel did. And I always thought it was a legitimate question. But I didn't really have an answer, okay? I mean, he gave an answer, but I didn't really look into the depth. And I thought it was such a simple answer that, you know, I just took it for face value. And that was, why was David allowed to eat of the showbread that was only under the Levitical law, was only for the Levitical priesthood in the face of God? I mean, this is a big deal, because you've seen when worship was done out of order, or worship was done in a way that God didn't ask for it to be done, he got very angry. And so here was David of the tribe of Judah. He just rolled up into the temple, and he asked the priest, you got any food? And it was just the showbread, and he was allowed to eat the showbread. So my first reaction to that was, wow, that's pretty convenient that God made an exception for David, right? That's kind of the way stuff goes on now, right? There's, depending on who you are, you just kind of, yeah, go ahead, it's okay. I know you, trust you, whatever, right? It seems like what goes on now. And that's not the God that we serve. But that was my first reaction. And even the answer that Jesus gave when he said that he desired mercy over sacrifice, it didn't really click with me. But I just accepted it and moved on, right? I didn't. But this scripture came up when I was looking for something. And then I saw something else. And this is how we grow, right? We people that plant a garden, they plant certain flowers, and the next year they find out that some of those flowers were not pretty, they weren't the best, they died, they didn't do a very good job. And over time, you learn to be able to have a green thumb, and you learn to be able to feel and just create, right? And what goes well with what and what doesn't. And that's kind of the way Scripture is. The more that we read, the more that we understand, and the more that we can almost, it seems like when we push the world away and we start reading, we start to think in the mindset of God. And it's not as hard after a while. It takes a long time to get there, but after a while, you kind of get where God's coming from a little bit. And that's awesome. That's awesome, but that takes study, and that takes time, and that takes growth, right? Planting flowers and cultivating and having a green thumb is not a gift that everybody has. So they try it once, and they're like, oh, this didn't work. How many people do that with the Word of God and walk away, right? It was the bread that was placed before the altar of God. It had the censers and the showbread that was placed on the table in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament. No, it was the showbread, I would say, was... Yeah, it was for the priesthood, but you had manna that came from heaven, and it was symbolic of that God was feeding them, right? They brought sacrifices for their sins to the temple priest, and the temple priest, in order to commit their lives to God and to serve, the meat that was offered in the bread, that was how they ate. God took care of them that way, just like he did in the desert. But that's the showbread. It was laid out on the table of offering in the the Old Testament. Thank you for asking, though. 1 Samuel 21, 2 through 5. So David, and I found an answer here, and I want to see if y'all see it. It says, so David said to Ahimelech, the priest, the king has ordered me on some business and said to me, do not let anyone know anything about the business on which I send you or what I've commanded you. Excuse me, and I have directed my young man to such and such a place. Now therefore, what have you on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, and whatever can be found. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread. If the young men have at least kept themselves from women. And then David answered the priest and said to him, truly women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out. This was necessary under the law for a man to be considered clean. There was a time for a woman to be clean and a time for a woman not to be clean. And there was a time for a man and a woman to spend together. And there was a time for a man and a woman to spend apart. in prayer and things like that. So, truly women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out. And the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in effect common, even though it was consecrated in this vessel this day. Do y'all see anything out here that jumps out at you? When you read this, I mean, I've read this many times. I don't know how many times I've read through Samuel. But you read over stuff and it just skips. So let me show you what stood out. And the question, obviously, as we're going through, is why was David allowed to eat the showbread? He just said, the priest said he only had the holy bread. And David told him, he says, even though it was consecrated in the vessels this day, the bread is in effect common. Why would he do that? I just don't understand. Why was David allowed to eat the showbread? Like I said, it just sounds real convenient to me that God made an exception for David to do this. And also, the priest, he had laws that said he was the only one supposed to do that. And he said, you know, I got to tell you, if you're going to approach God in this manner, he said, you at least have to be ceremoniously clean. Right? Because that's what the law did. It was pitchers and waters and washing of hands. It was ceremony. And we understand that. Ceremony when the bride comes down. Everybody stands up, right? And the song plays, dun, dun, da, dun, dun. Like Darth Vader, you know. Anyway, so the bride comes down, everybody stands up. It's ceremony, and it's done in a manner, and people don't just laugh and get up and walk around. It's ceremony. So ceremoniously clean and stuff. So the priest said, at least you got to make sure this is happening. And I thought, you know, this is just all too convenient for me. But here's what stood out to me when I was going through this, and it pushed me in a different mindset. These are the things that stood out to me. David said to Ahimelech, the king has ordered me on some business and said to me, do not let anyone know what you're here for. Ring a bell, is there anybody else that the king has sent on a business and he told him, he says, don't let anybody know what you're doing. Do you know that Jesus came and he says, I did not come to bring my own doctrine, but what I heard, I therefore speak. And Jesus had done things, and he said, it is not yet time for the Son of Man to be revealed. Don't tell anyone about this. Right? The king has come and ordered me on a mission. Don't let anyone know about the business which I have sent. In verse 3, it says, now therefore, what have you on hand? And he says, give me 5 loaves of bread. Ever seen 5 loaves of bread before? Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? They had 5 loaves of bread, right? When he was on his mission and he was going where the king had commanded him to go, there was 5 loaves of bread that was brought forward to him. Verse 4, and he says, and the priest answered David, said, there is no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread. Jesus had the bread, the 5 loaves, and it was blessed, and it fed the 5,000. But what holy bread was he talking about? He was talking about himself. He was talking about the Word of God. He was talking about the food that he was at one point. He was manna in the desert. The priest said, there's only holy bread here. Okay? And then we move on to verse 5. It says, in the latter part of 5, it says, and the vessels of the young men are holy. The bread is in effect common, and even though it was consecrated in this vessel this day. Is there any other bread that is holy that's in our presence that we stand before, but it's really just common bread? And ring a bell to anybody? Yeah, communion. See? This right here. It was consecrated as holy during the ceremony, right? And it is. But in essence, somebody made this somewhere away, and we symbolize this as the body of Christ because this is a spiritual meal. But physically, we have to take part in this. That's why it's here. Otherwise, it would just all be spiritual. Now, when you read this, right, you read what we read before, you get an account of David going into battle, right? He was hungry. His men were hungry. They come into the temple, and they come to the priest, and they get some of the holy bread. And you just see a story there. But as you dig and seek to learn, to understand, and the Holy Spirit should be involved in a message, right? Do you think I'm really smart enough to look at you and think that I know where you're at? I mean, I can. The Holy Spirit, through Scripture, shows us. When I teach things that you don't understand, things that I struggle to understand, that's understandable, okay, right? If it was hard for a teacher who should be deeper, and spends time looking and working and studying, and it's hard for him to grasp when you show it to him, it would be difficult for me to be arrogant enough to stand up here and think that because I'm such a great teacher, right, that you would understand it just like that. But if there's things that are elementary, right, when we talk about the works of faith, we talk about the doctrines of baptism, we talk about faith in the Word of God, how works plays into all this, we put James and the book of Hebrews and all this stuff in here where blood comes in, I would expect you to understand those to a decent degree, because this is something that we've never shied away from and that we cover most of the times in every lesson. But we read stuff like this and we just skip over it. But because we're trying to understand and grow, God says, you know what? Here's a message. And I've got four or five of them sitting there. Why did I pick this one, right? I would like to think that the Holy Spirit is involved in this. The leading of the Holy Spirit leads me through Scripture, leads everybody through Scripture, but leads me through things that I should teach because He wrote them and He's speaking them to you through this common vessel up here, right? Because at best, I'm only a man. That's it. But when you start to read over Scripture, and this is why it's important, I know a preacher said one time, well, he got through the book, he shut the book, and he said, I'm done. And he said, what are you talking about, you're done? He said, well, I've preached from Genesis to Revelation, I'm done. How arrogant, right? And when God says that knowledge will puff us up, but I'm not here to brag about knowledge, I'm here to learn about God. I'm interested in growing people because that's what God died for. That's what Jesus died for, was to grow people. To get you to see Him in a light where you almost feel like you could reach out and touch Him. He's that real to you. Not just some story in a book, right? And so when we read this, we see that this is not just some story in a book. God's trying to show us something. He is showing us a prophecy of the church. Is He not? But still, that doesn't answer the question. Why was David allowed to eat of the showbread when he was not from the Levitical priesthood? That would be like saying that someone who is not a Christian could come up here and administer this table. This is a table for Christians. You should be a Christian up here standing at the table. Otherwise, you're an abomination to God. If you are not a Christian, you come up here and try to serve the body of the blood of Christ. Come on now. Can we not stand on something? We can't do that. So, when we look, this is a prophecy of the church. He's showing us something from a story that David actually lived out. Okay? But again, why was David allowed? Genesis 14, 18 through 20. And you're thinking, gosh, I wish he'd get on with it. Well, here's going to start the answer. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread. And that's old Jerusalem, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. And he was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, professor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe. Do you know what Abraham did? He partook of the bread and the wine. And I'm sorry to say that that is definitely a reflection and a prophecy of the church, of the communion, bread and wine. And then also he gave to Melchizedek, because he was priest most God, he gave him a tithe of what he had. And you say, well, whatever, Abraham was a Jew. No, he wasn't. Abraham was a Gentile. This was before the Jewish nation. What gave him the right to do this? What gave David the right to eat the showbread is the same thing that gave Abraham the right to give to Melchizedek. You see, the offering, the table, the Levitical priesthood, all of this was after Abraham coming to Melchizedek. So part of the answer with David is the reason that he was allowed to eat of the showbread has something to do with Melchizedek, because he has the same reason that Abraham was allowed to do this. What gives Abraham the right to come before God Most High and partake of an image of the Son of God and to give a tithe of his dirty money to God? I want us to understand what that's like is somebody that knows nothing about church, knows nothing about God, cares nothing about God, comes in here, administers this table, gives of his money, takes of the body and blood of Christ and walks out. Is that something that you think God would be interested in? Do you think God would be pleased with this act? Well, then what gave Abraham the right to give part of his dirty money and his dirty life to come around God? We see the answer and understanding a little bit about the priesthood of Melchizedek. Jesus was a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. It was his body and blood that they were partaking of. Symbolic, a prophecy of the future, but his nonetheless. Do you know in the garden when the animal's blood was shed? Was it the animal of the blood of the animal that took away the sin? My heavens, no. Hebrews says that that'll never take away sin. Do you know what animal was killed in the garden? It was a lamb. You know how we know it was a lamb? Because Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. And when God showed Himself to people, the sacrifice that He asked for you to bring was what? A lamb. What was the animal that Abel offered up to God? A lamb. Jesus has always been that sacrificial lamb. It's always been His blood. So here we have Abraham coming before the king of Salem, and the reason he did that was because Jesus, the Bible says, that you are a priest according to the order of Melchizedek forever. Right? Isn't that what the Bible says? That he was a priest. Do you know Jesus is our high priest? How is that possible? He was from the tribe of Judah. David was from what tribe? The tribe of Judah. You see, our priesthood, the one that we serve as a Christian, is of a priesthood that the Levites had no right to. And so, short order, when Jesus came and ate of that showbread, it was to show us of the mercies of God that would come to the whole world. And that's kind of the answer. I got a slide and a half left, but that's what we see right here. If Abraham was allowed to come and give to God and partake of an image of the Son of God, of the body and blood, he was able to do that because of a priesthood that existed outside of the law. And when David stood there in that place where he got the showbread, he was there because of Christ. He was allowed to do this because of Christ. And why you think, well, what difference did David make? Well, you'll see that God anointed this man. And he said, from your line will come my son. And that's what this showed, in essence. The mercies of God could not be contained by the Israelite nation. The mercies of God was going to be for the whole world. A priesthood the Levites had no right to. And you say, well, how come the Levites had no right to the showbread that was sitting there? We're not talking about the showbread under the law. We're talking about the true bread of heaven. We're talking about the true bread that the Levites partook of, but they didn't notice it. The Levites also had to come through Christ, the line of Judah. So what gave them the right to stand there and partake of that showbread themselves? was because of the line of Judah, the order of the priesthood of Melchizedek. It's there where we find our forgiveness. It's there where we find the blood that was shed of Christ, because we see that in Abraham when he came before the Levitical priesthood. The Levites also had to come through Christ. Or otherwise, after Christ came and he came off the cross and everybody started talking and preaching the gospel, the Levites were sitting back there eating on their bread and stuff and eating their meat that was brought by the sacrifice. And they said, "Hey man, we're good. We're priests." No. David showed them a priesthood that they couldn't even see. And they were partaking, of the very power and essence of that priesthood, the body of the blood, the body of Christ. Do we see that? Is that simple enough? Can we see that? That there was the Levitical priesthood that had the showbread, but the reason that Abraham and David were allowed to partake of that showbread, they were allowed to even come into the presence of God, was because of Jesus. That's why any of us was allowed to come into the presence of God. Do you know why the nation of Israel was forgiven by God by the law? Because they were going to bring forth the seed of Christ. They were forgiven because of Christ, not because of the Levitical priesthood, but because of the real body, the real showbread that was sitting there was proclaiming Christ the whole time. But they didn't see it. They didn't see it. And so when David walked in and partook of it, they should have realized something then. They should have realized something then, but they didn't. Matthew 9:11-13, "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?'" We know what the problem with this statement is. You know, I'm glad that you're here, but I hear that you hang out with some really bad people, and I just don't, I don't think that that's the image that, we want to portray. How arrogant and cocky and misunderstanding is that? To think that I'm better than anyone. God forgave me. That's the only difference. That's the only difference. But so we see the problem with this statement. Thanks for being the example. I'm just, messing around. But it says, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus told them, and they should have seen right then and there. They should have understood what He was saying to them. But we know that the Pharisees didn't. And if they saw it, they certainly didn't like it. Jesus told them, He said, the people that are healthy, the people that are well, they have no need of a physician. But those who are sick..." Right? And He was telling them this, right? And when He told them this, they should have figured that out. "You're proclaiming to be healthy, but you're dying. And I'm here to save you, but you're saying you're healthy." He says, "You can't even see that you're sick." And the reason we know that they didn't understand that from this, because He tells them in verse 13, He said, "But I want you who do not understand what I'm trying to tell you, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know why Abraham was allowed to come before the high priest of Salem of God Most High? Because he recognized who God was and who He was. Do you know why David was allowed to eat of the showbread? I mean, I'm giving you other examples. He's been anointed, the foreshadowing of the church. David understood who God was and who He was. And so, Jesus got mad when you looked at people and said, "You're not really worthy of my help." And so people take that to mean that we just let everybody just come in and just take over, right? You lock your doors. At some point, you have to realize, I can't sustain taking care of this and this. But it's an attitude. It's not that we have to take every free dime that we have, because I don't know of anybody that does this, and give to the poor. All these people that holler out that they do this, they can do this, but they don't. They just holler that we don't do it, right? We give all of this. I don't know of anybody that does this, but we do what we can. Make your needs known. "Look, this has been a tough week. I don't know what's happened. I need money for food. I need money for gas. My car broke down and I just got on top of my bills. God help me, it took me 6 months and I don't want to fall behind again. Can you pay my electric bill? Can you help fix my car? I can fix my car, but I can't afford to do my electric bill in both. Which one would you like to pay? The car's more expensive. I'll do that one, right? Help. Don't give everything, but help. Nobody gave everything except Jesus. And I don't see anybody else doing that. I don't see him that he asked you to do that. What he asked for you was to trust in the mission that he sent you on, because the King has put you on a mission. And he's told you to go here, and do this. He's not asking you to do something that you're not able to. This congregation supported me for a very small period of time in the outcome of my life. But y'all did. Y'all put food on my table and put socks on my kids' feet. He says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. The sacrifice was the showbread. The sacrifice was the animals that he brought. And he said, those weren't the things that I wanted. He said, I desired mercy. And I see no greater mercy than the giving of Christ. See, Christ was the reason that David could do this. Christ was the reason that Abraham could do this. And all of this came through the priesthood of Melchizedek. There had to have been a priest that administered the sacrifice to God. This was the very thing Jesus came to give to us. Repentance to sinners. But you first got to realize that you're sinners. You can't walk around and think you don't need God and expect that God is going to help you out. Because you know how you act like you don't need God? You don't have to say it. But you don't do anything for Him. You don't have a relationship with Him. You don't show up. You just don't do nothing. You think that you have this relationship with God. But he says those people are the ones that think that they're good. I'm healthy. I'm good. But then they think that God is going to do something for them. God did do something for them. He came to give sinners repentance. Are you a sinner? I am. I am a forgiven sinner. The blood of Christ is the only thing that separates me from the world. I wish it was my deeds. I wish it was my mindset. I wish it was my greatness. There's nothing redeemable in me except the blood of His Son. That He looked at me and He said, you're willing to trust in me and I will back it up. You're willing to do it my way, I'll stand behind you. The right to come before the mercy seat. All nations. That's what David showed us. That's what this communion table is for. This goes into all the world. The Levitical priesthood didn't do that. That showbread was based on the order of Melchizedek. That's why the limited, temporary, earthly priesthood was set up. But it was always administered, truly through the order of Melchizedek. And how we know that is because the blood of Christ, the God of Most High, that was the order that Christ was a priest. Because when He came to Israel, Israel had a priesthood. And then when Jesus said, I am now the high priest, after He raised from the dead, that He was now our high priest, the Levitical priesthood should have submitted to the priesthood that was right before Him all the time. The body, the blood of Jesus Christ. And Melchizedek is the one that showed that, not the Levitical priesthood. Because the Melchizedek priesthood stood forever. And I know this is hard to understand, but the reason is because even the Levitical priesthood had to be based on something. And you know what it was based on? Abraham was the father. Remember, our father Abraham? This is the basis from where the law came. The blood of Christ. The body and blood of Christ. That's why the nation of Israel existed, was to bring forth that body and blood. And the person that we know of is Jesus. You see, the Levites who ate the showbread never really understood it would one day be allowed for all of them. See, they had a problem with David, but they didn't realize that everybody was going to come to that table at one point or another. Not the Levitical priesthood, but the body. The bread that was offered, that was one day going to be opened up to all nations. They didn't see it. Even the apostles, and don't blame them so much, because even the apostles asked after the resurrection if Jesus was going to restore the kingdom to Israel, them not fully understanding the mercy of God. Remember, he told them, he said, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and sacrifice. Israel, the apostles, this is found in Acts 1-2, I think, chapter 1, I think, and it says that when they ask, are you, Lord, at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They didn't understand that the mercy of God would go into all the world. So it had to exceed from the Levitical priesthood. That blood had to go past that Levitical priesthood. And that's what David showed us when he ate of that showbread. See, David even prayed against all evidence. He was a Jew. He was king of the Jews. Against all evidence, he prayed that the world would see his God. In Psalm 67:2, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, but I wish the whole world would know the salvation of my God. And guess what happened? He come before that showbread. He partook of that, showing that his God would fulfill that promise in his trusted Redeemer. How amazing is that? Psalm. Now, this is a little bit of reading, but I want us to see something here. Psalms 89, 19 through 28, and I'll try to be fast about this. Then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One, who you think that is, and said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found my servant David. David was a representation of Christ. We see that when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Same thing Jesus said on the cross. He had his servant David. He said, with my holy oil I've anointed him. Well, David was anointed. You know why? Because on his throne was going to sit Jesus. It was really Jesus that was anointed. But because David had a part, this part to play in this, bringing forth the seed of Christ that would sit on his throne, you want to see 1,000 years? From David to Christ was 1,000 years. You want to see the 1,000-year reign of Israel? Right there it is. From David to Christ. After Christ, the Jewish nation was done away with under the law because the church come in. They were baptized into Christ. 3,000 of them on the day of Pentecost. Verse 21, he says, with whom my hand shall be established, also my arm shall strengthen him. The arm of God is always Christ. We can see that in Scripture. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face, and I will plague those who hate him. But my faithfulness is what I want to see. Verse 24, he says, but my faithfulness, my mercy shall be with him. Who was that? Remember, we talked about the faithfulness, the mercies of God. That was Christ. He said he will be with him. And also I will set my hand over the sea, his right hand over the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I will also make him my firstborn. Hello. Talking about Christ here. Saying it to David, but talking about Christ. This is why Jesus. This is why David was able to go to the showbread, because he was acting in the same way when Melchizedek was preaching that priesthood. He was acting in the stead of Jesus. David going before that showbread, he was anointed by God. He was called the firstborn. He walked in there and he had every right to take of that showbread because he came in the power and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that is that he was his trusted Redeemer. That was, he saw that for what it was, the body of his Savior, because he realized who God was and who he was. This is what he's saying to David. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. God says, I will make him my firstborn, the highest of kings of the earth. In verse 28, he says, my mercy I will keep with him forever, my covenant shall stand firm with him. God made Jesus a promise and he said, go and do my bidding, and I will not let your soul, I will not let your body see corruption, nor will I leave your soul in Hades. The mercies that David trusted in, the mercies that God told him, was found in that showbread. It was found in the trust in his Redeemer. That was his Redeemer laying there. That was the body of Christ. The Levitical priesthood didn't see this. From the line of Judah came Christ, who saved even the Levitical priesthood. He had every right to go in there and do this. But he didn't have every right because he was the line from Judah. He had every right because he was anointed by God. God called him his firstborn. God called him his strength. He said, my mercies will lie with him forever. Through David came the promise of Christ. He says, I set a king, an earthly king, on my throne. He said, but then my king will come and reign. And when Jesus came, guess what? He does reign. He does reign. It's not David's throne any longer. It was always Christ's. Jesus even said he was the manna from heaven that the Israelites ate in the desert. All of these things, the reason David was able to do this, the reason Abraham was, the reason we're able to do this is because of Christ. David eating showbread was a picture of someone, I want us to understand this, right? Because he said, go and find out what this means. Y'all reading it, aren't you? I said, go and find out what this means. And he told the people, he says, how come you eat with sinners? Huh? I don't want to come to your church. There's too many sinners in there. Right? That's essentially what they were saying. But the picture of David eating that showbread was this. It was a picture of someone coming around the holiness of God Almighty who had no right to do that. No one has a right to come before God, except for the mercies found because of Jesus. And that's what he told him here in Psalms. That's what he said. My mercy I will keep with him forever. My covenant shall stand firm with him. I'm not talking about the old covenant, but the covenant he made in the mercies of Christ to deliver the Israelite nation and the rest of the world. And all of this was shown through the Melchizedek priesthood, because that's where the God Most High was worshipped. That's where the Levitical priesthood was based on, because it was the body and blood of our Savior. That's where the Levitical priesthood come from, because they based theirs on the redemption of a Savior. And Melchizedek showed us that Savior, that He would die for us. Last thing. Do you remember when we were looking at the beginning and talked about the five loaves of bread and all this? I want us to see this picture. Matthew 14, 15 through 18. He says, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, he said, look, this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves some food. See, these people did not believe or understand the power of God. The Levitical priesthood thought it was just all about them. It was just right there, right in front of them, and that was it. And these people had the Son of God walking among them, performing these miracles and all. And it was late, and they said, send them away so they get something to eat. But Jesus said to them, he said, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And you know what the Levitical priesthood did? Gave them something to eat. You know what they gave them? The body of Christ. It was just showbread. They didn't understand it. The Levitical priesthood said, you shouldn't be in here. The people said, it's getting late. Send them away so they get something to eat. And Jesus said, no, wait a minute. You give them something to eat. And so you know what they gave them? And they said to him, we only have five loaves. Isn't that what David asked for? He said, give me five loaves and I'll go away. And here was Jesus. Here, I want us to see this. Jesus answered that right here. I mean, symbolically, right? But he said, here's your five loaves. And the apostles, the Levitical priesthood, if we make this correlation here, they looked at it and they said, what can we do with this? We only have five loaves, right? You need help. I've only got $50. I mean, you're welcome to it, but it's not going to help you out. I can't do this enough. You know what Jesus said? Bring them to me. He said, bring them to me. Those five loaves that were asked for in the Old Testament, Jesus said, look at what I can do with this. You offered up this showbread to proclaim that you were making a sacrifice to God. I'm that sacrifice. Now look at what your sacrifice, look at what my sacrifice is going to accomplish. You think you only have five loaves? Bring them to me. Bring them to me. Abraham put one foot in front of the other, didn't know where he was going. But you know how he found out he knew where he was supposed to be? His father was an idol worshiper, right? His family was into idol worshiping. You know what happened? He come before that person, Melchizedek, that preached the blood of the sacrifice that he believed in. He knew he had reached the right place. He knew he'd been following God because Melchizedek said, come and take of this bread and wine. Of the sacrifice, right, that had been passed down from ages. Abraham, in his hometown, his parents were idol worshipers, but he held on to that promise of that sacrifice of that lamb. And Jesus said, you've only got 5 loaves, you bring them to me. Let me tell you something. You take what you have, your faith, your belief, put your trust in the Redeemer of Israel. Put your trust in the Redeemer of mankind. The one who has always been the one that was going to save the world. Put your trust there. Pick up that Bible. Stand around this table. Start your walk. How do you do that? Peter told him. He said, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And they said, what do we do? And he told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you would receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. That's how you start your walk. That body and blood, we are born again in the image of God. Because if we look back, Seth was born in the image of Adam. His son was born in the image of Seth. I was born in the image of my dad. But now that I have been immersed into Christ, I've been born again into the image of God, into the image of His Son. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?